Good morning, everyone. Our reading this morning is taken from the first chapter of the book of Acts, and we're reading verses 1 to 11. Jesus taken up into heaven. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from his sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Xanthi. So I've been thinking recently about how this time during lockdown feels a bit like that time in between Christmas and New Year, you know, when you've no idea what day it is and the days just kind of blur into each other. So tomorrow, for example, is Bank Holiday Monday, but it won't really feel like a bank holiday. And also it's half term. Kids are off school, but then they've been off school for weeks, so it doesn't really mean very much. At least I know that today must be Sunday, because I'm stood here in my study speaking into the laptop, and we're doing church this way, so it must be Sunday. Well, on Thursday just gone, it was Ascension Day. Now, Ascension Day isn't a widely celebrated day, and so it can easily go unnoticed. But Ascension Day marks the day when Jesus was taken up into heaven following his resurrection, and it's a significant marker between Easter and Pentecost. So just before the moment Jesus is taken into heaven, Jesus says this: "I am going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So Jesus' ascension, his leaving earth in his physical body, is strongly linked to him sending his Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and Pentecost is what we'll be celebrating next Sunday. So on Thursday, David led Ascension Day morning prayer on Facebook. We posted some Ascension Day hymns and songs. And I also quoted from a post that Hazel had written about how Pentecost and Ascension Day are linked, about how they're connected to each other. I love how, even in lockdown, our church is a team. It's not just me doing things, but it's a whole team of people who are contributing to the life of the church. As I say, Hazel wrote about how Jesus' ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was enjoined and in conjunction with one another. And she also wrote about how these events link to Jesus' return, which is to come, and how we're all to play our part. We all have a job to do. In this morning's reading, from the beginning of Acts, it's like a bridge between Ascension Day and Pentecost. The book of Acts is often given the title the Acts of the Apostles. But Luke, who writes the book, wants us to know that there is a central character to this book. And it's a bit strange because this central character actually only appears in the first few sentences. Luke starts the book of Acts with these words. In my former book, so that was the Gospel of Luke, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Notice the word there, began. It's about what Jesus began to do. So the accounts of Jesus' miracles and teachings in the Gospel of Luke, that Luke wrote, are only the beginning of Jesus' work. That work continues in and through Jesus' followers, through the church. So Luke is letting us know that his last book, the Gospel, was all about Jesus, and that this, his follow-up book, is also all about Jesus. These first two verses also lay out the link that I mentioned just now between ascension, which is Jesus leaving the earth, and Pentecost, which is Jesus sending the Spirit. So he writes, in my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. So that's the ascension. After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. So Luke's gospel book ended with Jesus going up to heaven. And this book is going to be about what Jesus did next. On the surface, Acts is all about how the church began, how the news about Jesus spread throughout the world. But there are also other layers going on in the book of Acts. So yes, on one level, it's about the early church. But secondly, it's also about Jesus, about his continuous work through the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, it's about us, the people of God. So it's about the early church. It's about Jesus. But it's also about us because we're part of this continuing church that began on the day of Pentecost. So the book of Acts doesn't really have an ending, because the work of the church continues. We're part of that ongoing book of the Acts of Jesus Christ, the Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the church that continues today. So if you're looking for an end to this story, you really need to go to the book of Revelation. But the future is there at an unknown time where it talks about Jesus' return. But that's still to come. In this passage this morning, the apostles are keen to know about when things will happen in the future. And Jesus tells them that it is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, when things will happen is God's business and not our business. Over the last 9 weeks, I've been regularly checking my news app on my phone to see when we're going to be able to come out of lockdown. When will schools be open? When will life get to back to anything like normal? And what we're realizing is that coming out of lockdown is going to be a lot more complicated and a long process, whereas going into lockdown was quick and quite simple in some senses. Not knowing when things are going to happen in the future can be really hard. But I think that God wants us to live in the now. When you think about it, that's all he gives us. Yes, we can have memories of the past and we can have thoughts about the future or worries about the future, but actually all we really have is right now. I think God wants us to appreciate the gifts of now and to face the challenges of now, to try to avoid the trap of always wishing things were different or being afraid of what is to come. Instead, we need to see that the here and now is where we're supposed to be, and the here and now is where God is. In the passage, the apostles are challenged by two men dressed in white who say, "Why do you stand there looking into the sky?" It's as if they're saying, don't just gaze into the future longingly, live in the here and now. So here's my Bible. And if you think about it, here's the end of the book of Acts, which is there. And then right at the end of the Bible is the book of Revelation. And really, we're living in between these two sections in the Bible, between the end of the book of Acts, where the church has begun, and the book of Revelation, the end of all things. And we live in that time, and we might have lots of questions about what's to come and what that might look like. And some of those questions won't get answered. But what we do know is that we're called to live in the now. And I suppose the key question for us today is, how do we live as the church? How do we play our part in the story? We can feel a long way from the early church 2000 years ago. The world is very different now. How can there be a continuity between how the first Christians lived and how we are meant to live out our faith now in 2020? Well, I think the answer is the Holy Spirit. In verse 8, Jesus says, "You will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit is the gift to us, the church. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus began a work in his physical body. And during this time, Jesus was present at one place to a certain number of people for a short period of time. But because Jesus ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, Jesus became present at all places to all people for all time. Another name for the followers of Jesus, the church, is the body of Christ. This group of people, us, the church, can be the body of Christ because the Holy Spirit is alive in us. And this leads us really nicely onto Pentecost, which is next Sunday, where we'll be learning more about what it means to have the Holy Spirit in us and with us. But for now, let's pray. Lord God, we recognize that we need your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God living within us. Lord, would you help us to live in the now? We might have lots of longings to go back to how things were. We might have lots of concerns about the future, worries about the future, or dreams about the things we want to do in the future. But would you help us to be present in the moment and to recognize that that's where you want us to be and that's where you are? Help us to continue the work that Jesus began, to be the body of Christ that you call us to be. Holy Spirit, would you live in us and through us? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.